Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. December 7th, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter December 7th, 2020. People want to destroy everything bad and have only good things in their lives. This is the wrong approach. Kabbalah teaches how to combine all the opposites together. One does not suppress the other. With the right combination and integration, they understand that they cannot do without each other and attain perfection. If every party and every person start building the form of love, which is based on oppositeness to one's negative, critical sensation of others, when inside there is hatred and outside there is love, then we will see that the whole world is corrected, and we are in the best state. Transgressions help build love. We must cover all discrepancies with love. If we treat each other this way, there won't be any conflicts, attacks, or animosity between people and parties. We will build together, accounting for our righteousness and others' errors, and covering all of this with love above. We have to change our approach, so we don't determine how exactly it should be, but each one will think that unity must dwell in the heart first of all. It is then realized, it doesn't matter in what form. I don't establish any conditions, what matters is to strive for unity. Only our internal efforts in striving to unite as a whole nation and the whole world can bring peace to the world. Otherwise, explosive points and looming war will be present everywhere. There is nothing more important than our efforts to unite the nation. The problem is that every person thinks only he is right. If I attune myself to a good attitude toward the friends and through them to the Creator, I tune myself like a musical instrument, like guitar strings, striving for complete harmony in their sound. By tuning myself in this way, I sound in harmony with the group and start to play it like playing one soul. If the friends enter my heart, then I will see that the Creator stands behind each of them. They appear before me as my corrected qualities, but in my egoism I see them as flawed. If I try to let them straight into my heart, then I will correct myself. The Creator unites us, and makes us perfect. He created the world for us, to be His partners, to reveal our differences and the need for the force of bestowal, to ask the Creator to come and fill all the voids, connect the opposites, and let us feel the perfect oneness of all pluses and minuses. Everyone's individual inborn qualities are a great asset, and should not be altered or broken. On the contrary, we must protect every person in the world to preserve their natural qualities. We must work together for the Creator to unite us, all, to attract the force of bestowal. Connection is possible only in the measure of rising above egoism. Or it falls apart. We see this in all unions in our world. Therefore, first we rise above our ego and, to this extent, we unite into one whole. Moreover, egoism remains between us, but plays a role of connection amplifier. One sees that his friends are closer to the Creator, while he is not aligned with the Creator, is completely detached from him. Even if he sometimes receives an awakening for the Creator, he instantly disconnects from the Creator's oneness. However, it forces him to demand a solution in adhesion with the Creator. One should always try to cling to the Creator, for all his thoughts to be about the Creator. Even in the worst state, he should not leave the Creator's domain thinking that there's another power that prevents him from following Creator's path, for everything comes from the Creator. There is no other force besides the Creator. This means that neither does man have any power, and one is mistaken in thinking that he did something himself yesterday, that is, he does not believe that only the Creator controls the world. One should not regret what happened, it was the Creator who disconnected him from himself. Destiny of your choice. Man is the creation and everything else, still, animate, and vegetative nature only appear for man to exist. This is how the Creator depicts reality within man's desire to receive pleasure. And if we could control our desire to receive pleasure and change it, We would change reality. We could depict a different reality for ourselves, a different world. Everything can be changed, both yourself and the world in which you live. We have been given the opportunity to do everything according to our choice. The Creator established the creation and passed it on to us. Therefore, it is necessary to divide reality into two parts. One reality is one I perceive being egoistic as I am. We are born in egoism and cannot do anything about it. This is an animate perception of the world. But it is possible to change this reality if we can control our desire. In the direction I turn my desire, in such a reality I will see myself existing and myself changed. Everything is possible to change because of the desire to enjoy, and it is subject to change. A person who is able to control his desire in whole or in part is called a Kabbalist. He receives a desire from the Creator and then asks him for the power to change this desire. Therefore, he can always change the world in which he lives, reality at all levels, from the very bottom of the spiritual ladder to its top. By changing our desire to receive pleasure, we move from degree to degree, from state to state, from world to world, from one perception to another, each time becoming closer and closer to the true form, to the Creator, who is at the top of the ladder. That is why we bear the name man, Adam, the one who wants to change and become more and more like the Creator. We must not agree with the perception of the world that we are receiving now, and we must constantly look for how to change and improve it. The Creator says, "I have created the evil inclination." And we see the world in our corrupted desire, that is, not giving 100% as the Creator does. And we want to change this desire to make it similar to the higher force, the desire for bestowal, and then we will see our state as more and more close to the Creator. Every moment of my life must be perceived as a state sent by the Creator and revealed in my egoistic desire. And my task is to try to correct the desire given by the Creator in which I now feel reality, myself, friends, the world, the Creator, in order to see everything at a higher level, in the desire for bestowal, closer to the Creator. Each time the Creator gives me a certain desire in which I feel reality, every moment is a new world, a new state. Therefore, every second I strive to cling more to the Creator, to become closer, more giving, to connect more with my friends and through them with the Creator to such an extent that we turn into one person and wish to cleave to the Creator. The Creator appears before me when I include all the friends in my heart. And then I am ready to adhere to Him and achieve the goal set for me. The beginning of the spiritual level is a state received from the Creator and the awareness that I feel it inside my egoism. I also understand that I must change this state by including the whole 10, which helps me to free myself from me and cleave to my friends. It is said about this that the Creator puts the hand of man on the good fate and says, "Take this for you." So I join the group and together with it I strive to cleave to the Creator. This means that I perceive any received state as good, useful for spiritual advancement, and I just need to establish the right attitude toward it. Every day you need to establish a new form of work, new advancement, and then during the day to try and realize it so that every day is like a new one. The main thing is to recognize each state as given by the Creator to be changed. And change is possible only in my desire to enjoy. Right now, the Creator forms my desire and gives me a feeling of fulfillment. And I need to change my desire, and then the feeling will change. I must feel joy that I received a sensation from the Creator, no matter what it is, even the worst. But with the help of the group, I can rise above it and begin to change my attitude toward what is happening. Egoistic desire was given to me from above, and I want to replace it with the desire to bestow, called "My sons defeated me." That is, I gave you the will to receive, and you ask me to give you a desire to bestow instead. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, November 30, 2020, Joy in All States. Music of the Soul. Advancement is only possible in the 10. I see everything through my egoism, and therefore, everything depends on how I correct it. That is why the Creator broke the common soul of Adam Harishon into pieces so that I could work and get closer to my friends despite my egoism and correct my perception. Friends will enter my heart, and I will see that behind each of them is the Creator. They appear before me as my corrected qualities, but I see them corrupted in my egoism. If I tried to bring them right into my heart, I will correct myself. I am the only one who needs to correct myself, my attitude to the Ten, to the world, to the whole reality, and through it to the Creator. The Creator gives me the friends and says, "Choose them, this is your good fate, through them you will reveal your soul." And I must accept this fate and unite my friends together in my heart and mind. This will mean that I have chosen the good fate and attained a soul. If I calibrate myself to be good to my friends and through them to the Creator, then I tune myself as a musical instrument, like guitar strings, achieve complete harmony in their sound. This is how I must calibrate myself to be in tune with the group and start playing on it as one common desire, one soul. In this way, we will be able to put together our common prayer, like King David who wrote his Psalms combining in them the desires of all the people of Israel. We are talking about internal connection and not external actions. External actions only distract us, and slow down our correction. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson December 3, 2020, Unity Above All. The highest and the lowest. I must see my friends as great and myself as the smallest of all. But it is impossible to adhere to this extreme only by lowering yourself. On the other hand, I should feel like the greatest, capable of pulling everyone with me. It turns out that I am both the lowest and the highest point of all. And all the friends are between these two poles. One time I annul myself to zero before them and add as many zeros as possible. And another time I increase myself to one, followed by as many zeros as possible. And only in the gap between these two states can I build my correct attitude to the Ten and to the whole world. I can fit the entire world between these two points along with all the great Kabbalists. This is because my point in the heart is special, unique, something no one else has. I am the only one who can contact the Creator from this point. Nobody else can because there is no such point in any other person. Therefore, when I pass on the connection with the Creator to everyone through this point, I am completely unique and become Keter. And so does everyone. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson November 18, 2020, Work with Faith Above Reason. Thrive Global published my new article, "Where COVID Vaccines Give Me No Relief If We Become a Society Governed by Solidarity and Care Rather than Alienation and Cruelty, We Will Become a Healthy and Prosperous Society, Where Everyone Is Free and Safe." Since the beginning of the year, people have been trying to hang on to their previous lives in anticipation for a vaccine that would cure humanity from the severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2, SARS-CoV-2, which causes the coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19. Now it seems to have arrived, in multiple forms and from multiple companies. According to an essay published by the World Economic Forum, a vaccine usually takes more than 10 years to develop. In the case of COVID-19, it took several companies a measly 10 months to develop it. How did several companies develop a vaccine 12 times faster than the average time? At the very least, it leaves one puzzling. However, this is not the biggest issue here. What is most disconcerting to me is our delusional thinking that by getting rid of the COVID virus we will get rid of our troubles and return to our previous lifestyle, which inflicted on us the virus in the first place. I have no doubt, and neither do countless scientists that I quoted in previous posts, that the coronavirus is only the first in a series of many more miseries that will land on humanity at a growing frequency. Getting rid of COVID will only expedite the arrival of the next, and more painful blow. We have to understand that our exploitation of nature and people is over. If we understand it and adapt ourselves to this reality, we will go through the mending phase relatively easily. If we are obstinate, nature has many more tricks up its sleeve to show us who's really the boss, and none of them is pleasant. We treat nature as though it's lifeless, something we can discount and spurn, as though we can do with it whatever we want. COVID has come to teach us otherwise. Through it, nature speaks to us. It teaches us its language, its conduct, and gradually reveals to us its secrets. Nature has no ambition to kill us. If it did, there are far quicker ways to do it than COVID-19. We call nature Mother Nature because this is exactly what it is. Like a loving mother, it wants to teach us, with the least pain and effort, what it is that it must teach us. It wants to show us how it works, how it thinks, what it wants and why it wants it. It acts before us, like a mother acts before her baby. She laughs and sings, talks to her baby, makes faces, and points to other objects and people. Why does she do all this? After all, her baby doesn't understand her, so what's the point? The point is that the baby wants to learn, and by looking at the mother performing, it learns all that it needs to learn in order to grow. Nature is treating us just like that mother. Like that baby, we don't understand it, and like that baby, we don't need to. All we need is to want, just like that baby, and the understanding will come to us, just as it comes to every baby ever born. Nature wants to make us omniscient, wise and loving. It wants to show us how everything is connected, why it is connected, and our place and role in that connection. We don't need to know it before we assume our role, we simply need to listen. Just as a baby first wants to learn, then learns, and finally performs, so humanity must want to learn, and only then perform. If we adopt this attitude, we won't need any viruses, natural disasters, or any other scares. These are nature's last resort, when it gives up on grabbing our attention otherwise. If we are obstinate and don't want to learn, to pay attention to nature and understand its language, then nature has no choice but to call our attention in the only way that works, by hurting us. It could hurt us much worse if it wanted to, but it doesn't. We should be wiser than to say that COVID is just a bad flu, since nature can administer a much more serious remedy. What we refuse to understand is that we don't need to develop a vaccine, we already have it. It's our positive relation to each other. It may not work if few adopt it, but if all of society transforms its attitude to one another, if we become a society governed by solidarity and care rather than alienation and cruelty, we will become a healthy and prosperous society, where everyone is free and safe. Published on December 6, 2020. Michael Leitman, on Quora, how can you get rid of negative thinking? In order to get rid of negative thinking and all the problems and crises that stem from it, we have to be connected to the fundamental thought that exists before and beyond all of our thoughts, the thought that governs nature on all of its levels, still, vegetative, animate and human. How can we gain access to that exalted all-encompassing thought? It is by a correct form of connection among us. In our current state, we emanate negative thoughts and influences by hosting an egoistic intention upon all of our desires. This egoistic intention is expressed as myriad viruses of exploiting others for profit, status and control. The more we think and act according to an egoistic modus operandi, the more we spread these viruses to others, and as a result, more and more negative phenomena abound in our world. Our egoism infects society, becomes mutated in society, and then returns back to us, with much greater strength. Soon, we all agonizingly endure contaminated living conditions where our egoistic connections intensify to become increasingly negative and hateful. Today, we experience various mutations of hatred, cutthroat competitiveness, envy, lust, pride, control, and an ever-increasing compulsion to exploit anyone and anything if it serves our personal fulfillment. The problem with such an abundance of negative thoughts is that our goals of becoming more fulfilled elude us, more and more, and we find that neither do we nor others truly enjoy ourselves under such circumstances. Our egos develop in order for us to reach a conclusion that if we continue trying to personally benefit at the expense of others, then nobody wins, and we will find ourselves becoming more and more helpless. How, then, can we change our negative ways of thinking and spark a different positive form of development? We should seek ways to transform such a system according to the principle, don't do to others what you hate, and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, by positively connecting to each other, and investing in creating a society that supports, encourages and uplifts its members to think and act positively above egoistic drives, then we will positively transform our thinking. By valuing and respecting examples of doing good to the world and to others, then thoughts of how to positively affect others would start spreading among society, replacing the negative thoughts that stem from valuing and respecting individualistic and materialistic goals. The viruses we spread to each other would then become positive ones. Thoughts we pass to each other are considered viruses because they penetrate us, without our awareness. It is as if we guide other people by focusing good intentions upon them, and these intentions serve to positively influence them. We then make the world a better and healthier place. We each host a certain spark of the universe, and we have an opportunity to take responsibility for this spark and operate it by creating a society that encourages and supports harmonious human connections. External actions and internal intentions. Question. I know that Kabbalah engages in scrutinizing the intention, which is, from its point of view, action. How should intention and action be combined since it is not always possible through an action to determine how good the intention is? Answer, we must educate a person so that he acts in accordance with his intentions. And then through his external actions, we will begin to understand his internal intention. Question. Still, we must evaluate a person by his actions? Answer, we cannot. We do not really know what his intentions are. Rabash gives a very good example of this. A child is crying, rolling hysterically on the floor, and his father is standing nearby doing nothing. Passers-by ask, why do you treat the child this way? The father replies, my little son is asking for a pin to poke his eye. I am ready to take him to the doctor, but he does not want to go. In this example, we see that external understanding of an external action does not say anything. Question. So the intention is hidden from us. We cannot determine human morality by external actions. And what is the solution? Answer. The solution is to come to a state when we can feel the inner desires, intentions, and actions of people, not from the outside as we see them in this world, but from the inside. To do this, we need to rise to the level of the upper world, and we will see the intentions of a person and not his physical actions. Question. Do you personally never look at the external actions of a person? Are they not important to you? Answer. It is the external actions of a person that are important to me because we live in such a period of correction when these actions also affect everyone else and draw them in the right direction. Therefore, you need to verify to what extent they show others the right path. From CAB TV's Communication Skills, October 9, 2020. Natural laws and legal norms. Question. You write that love for one's neighbor and mutual guarantee, avut, are laws of nature. Therefore, non-observance of these causes all the problems and cataclysms that humanity has faced throughout history. Is it possible to scientifically prove and show the damage from non-observance of these laws, and then introduce them as legal norms so that they are protected by the state at least in an external manifestation, not to mention censory one? Answer: you cannot impose laws and rules of behavior on society that it cannot follow, although they are beautiful, correct, and perhaps even true. They do exist in nature. But humanity has not yet matured to the need to fulfill them. It can do only what it realizes, sees as a necessity, understands how to realize these laws in itself, and create a framework that protects them, etc. For example, we know that there is a law of mutual guarantee, AVUGT, according to which living organisms interact at lower levels. But we cannot introduce it as a state law because people will still not be able to comply with it. We reveal physical, chemical, and other laws of still, vegetative, and animate nature, which is in front of us, and we are in. By comprehending these laws, we explain them to everyone, because failure to comply with them immediately entails punishment. But in nature there are such laws that the implementation or non-fulfillment of them does not entail momentary reward or punishment. Question: we do not see the consequences immediately? Or do we see, but cannot connect the cause with the effect? Answer: yes. Therefore, we cannot introduce these laws of nature as laws of society. We must pull up society to the point that it realizes or sees with its own eyes their action at the level of earthly sciences. Or so that it feels it inside itself as the laws of moral behavior, correct interaction. Then you can enter them. Otherwise, you will break society, make revolutions, and you will get what was in Russia when good relations were forcibly introduced between people, although, being egoistic, they did not at all understand why this was required of them. From CapTV's Communication Skills, October 9, 2020. What will happen if all women return home from the workforce? Comment: years ago you said that jobs would be lost, businesses would fail, and the world's economy as a whole would decline. It is interesting that the problem of the whole world will be what to do with the unemployed. The most important thing is that people will have to receive not only the means to exist but also some meaning of life, a way of self-realization. Business magazines that usually write about money and work are suddenly writing about these notions being important. My response: because this is a problem, what to do with the unemployed population? Imagine all working women returned to their homes. And at least another 10%, say half of the men, also lose their jobs. Only about 20% of the world's population will still be working. All the others are not needed. In other words, they do not need to work if they are doing unnecessary work. What to do with them? Question: this is their first question. What to do with the people who are part of the unemployed population? Answer: fully engage these people with studies and education. Only education can change the world. For this purpose, these billions of people are now being freed up. Question: do you see the upper program in this? Are billions of people being freed up to start studying? Answer: yes. So that they are re-educated into humans. You open doors and let out a few billion people in order for them to sit at desks, at computers, in some kind of halls, anywhere, and start learning to be human. Humans in the highest sense of the word. Question: are you talking about learning how to relate to each other? Answer: not just that. Understanding the program of nature, the purpose of nature, the purpose of your own development. Which way they are headed, where they are going, so that it will be clear to them how they are controlled by the forces of nature. They do not exist in some kind of misunderstanding, in some kind of oblivion, but they are affected by forces, and they understand the impact of these forces and are in an organic mutual connection with them. Thus, they move forward in understanding this entire program. Question: are you saying that we have been dealing with the consequences all this time, and now we have to study the reason? Why did we appear in this world? Answer: yes, of course. Question: isn't this the destiny of some unique, talented people? Answer: no, absolutely everyone should learn this. Question: Will a person accept this? Answer, yes, this will go down very well. Question, do you think a person will get into finding out why he came to this world and what is the purpose of his coming? Answer, there are no problems, this is how it will be. Question, another most important question I read in an article is, will the people have to get not only a livelihood but also a new meaning of life? Answer, this is the most important thing. Comment, that is, these two questions are connected. Humanity, 2 to 3 billion people have been freed to understand what they exist for. My response, yes, and all the rest of humanity will get this through them as well. There is no way to escape this. It all depends only on the way we do it, quickly, with little blood or with great loss and suffering. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, October 5, 2020. Uninvented rules. Question, there are many rules in every group. If people form a group to start to study, then certain moral norms are created in their group, what can be said and what cannot be said. For example, in Kabbalistic groups it is not customary to talk about one's spiritual achievements. Integral education courses also have groups of people with certain rules of communication. But there is a constant inflow of new students. What is the best way to explain these rules to them? Answer, it is best if the group starts just discussing it among themselves and creates the appropriate rules on their own. They figure out what it means to come to a certain state in order to achieve a common goal, whether they need it, how, and why, when, in what order to follow changes in their communication, and so on. In other words, people create the rules themselves. Then it will seem to them that it is natural and necessary, that it really comes from the foundations of nature. Remark, but we actually do not make up rules because they already exist. My comment, rules exist. But the Kabbalists took them from the foundations of nature that we must attain. From CAB TV's Communication Skills, October 14, 2020. Boost everyone's self-esteem. Question, one emotional effect is belonging to a group. A person identifies himself with a certain community, seeks to evaluate it positively and in this way raise its status and his own self-esteem. Is it worthwhile strengthening and cultivating this effect, for example, in a group of people who seek to unite, saying, you are special, you are the best. Together, we will break through. Answer, I consider it is necessary to boost people's self-esteem, to raise energy and the desire to achieve the goal that is perhaps dormant inside a person, to encourage him, to support him. From CAB TV's Communication Skills, September 25, 2020.